You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome back to The Wire. You're on 95BFM and it's time for some microdosing.
It sure is. Psychedelic drugs like MDMA and LSD have been claimed to have the potential to help people suffering from PTSD and mental health problems. Several trials and treatments have been carried out, but it's still a grey area, and more trials are currently underway overseas. I wanted to know if we in Aotearoa were doing any work on psychedelic drug trials, and turns out we are. Dr. Suresh Muthukumaraswamy of the University of Auckland is in the early stages of conducting a trial looking at the effects of microdoses of LSD. Rather than me tell you about what it entails and what stage of the trial they are at, I think it's probably best to hear from Dr. Muthukumaraswamy himself.
This trial is about microdosing psychedelics. So that's taking very small but reasonably regular doses of a psychedelic drug. Typically, recreational users would use LSD or psilocybin, which is magic mushrooms. And they take it at pretty small doses below the level of your consciousness that where you'd be able to detect it, or just kind of at that level. And so what we're hoping, and people have made a lot of claims about what microdosing affects and how it's positively changed their lives. That's never really been tested in a kind of controlled clinical trial, and so that's the purpose of our trial. At the moment, we are setting the trial up still.
Now, you've done previous trials with LSD. What was different about that trial with this one?
Yeah, so quite a few years ago when I was working in the United Kingdom, we did a study with LSD looking at quite large doses in healthy volunteers to try to work out how those large doses of LSD changed consciousness and how they changed brain function, and trying to understand how we could measure some of those changes. So one of the key differences with the current trial is here we're moving away from these very large doses and into kind of more subtle but regularly given doses. So that's quite a big difference. And just to add that actually that research was done in the United Kingdom. Obviously I'm here in Auckland now, so this will be the first psychedelic trial that's been with LSD that will really have been conducted in New Zealand.
Do you think the microdosing will have a better effect on people that are suffering from mental health issues or PTSD?
I have no idea, to be honest. That's kind of the unknown question. That's why we need to do the research to find out the answer to that question. So we just don't know either way at the moment. So it's an interesting question. People have raised the possibility that it might be. So the job of the scientist is to try and work out whether that's correct or not.
Now, we're doing it here in New Zealand. Are there any other countries around the world that are doing any similar trials?
Yeah, so there's a couple of similar-ish trials kind of starting to start in Europe. Well, I think one's in the Netherlands and one in the United Kingdom. They're all kind of at similar stages to us, just kind of setting up. There's been a couple of studies just looking at sort of single doses, and then a few doses given in the lab, but no one's really done a kind of a long course of microdosing before, like people do in the wild, I guess you would say.
In the wild, yeah, that sounds about right. You feel like you're in the wild, I guess. What challenges have you faced in creating this drug trial? Because is it the first for New Zealand of this nature?
Yeah, it's the first time something like that's been done in New Zealand. So it's been a big... It's almost been a couple of years now. Well, by the time we start, it'll be a couple of years of kind of working through it. So there's obviously trials like this cost quite a lot of money, so you need to fund it. There's ethics involved, and can you do it ethically? Can you do it safely? And can you do it legally? So all these questions have come up as we've gone through the process of trying to get this, and then obtaining the drug is actually quite challenging because the drug needs to be prepared in to a kind of medical grade, as opposed to just buying it off the dark web like most people would do. So that's been a challenge to source it to medical grade and to sort out all the issues related to that.
So, is there a difference between the LSD that you use for trials compared to what people would use recreationally or buy from their dealer?
So we would know the exact dose and purity of So we would obviously know that there are no contaminants in our drug, whereas other, if you obtain it off the black market, you would have no idea. So we know there's no contaminants, and we have very precise dose control. So when we say we're going to give someone 10 micrograms, we know exactly that it is that, and whereas someone taking recreation wouldn't know those kind of things.
Now, LSD first came around, well, it's been banned for about 50 years, and I guess it was first come around when people were trialing it in laboratories, and then it went underground and sort of got out of hand?
Yeah, so it was a really fascinating history, right? So it was discovered, I think, in off to my head, 1947, by Hoffman, who was a Swiss chemist. And when he discovered it by accident, he realized that this was a really interesting chemical and had really interesting effects. And actually, it didn't go recreational to begin with. He took it to his academic colleagues, and they actually started studying it in the context of medical science and psychiatry. And for about 20 years, there was like a plethora of research. Like, there was over 1,000 studies conducted with LSD looking at potential therapeutic applications for it. But what happened as we headed into the 60s, it then sort of leaked out of the laboratories into the kind of the subculture and the hippie generation. And then that caused a lot of social concern about LSD, and that led to its prohibition. And with that prohibition on the social use came prohibition on research.
Do you think that prohibition on both social use and research was a knee-jerk reaction? Do you think it needed to be that severe, or is...
So it was kind of a grey area, like whether it was actually prohibition on research, but it was made so difficult that the research couldn't be done. And it probably was a knee-jerk reaction, and many people questioned it at the time. You have really even famous people like Robert Kennedy, who was the Attorney General of the United States. He was questioning whether, why is this research now being essentially banned when 15 years ago, or 5 years ago, we thought it was potentially really useful. So I guess the historical context is really important, though, because there's a kind of background of this being done in medical science, and then 50 years of pause, and now we're trying to unpause the clock.
Are you surprised it's taken 50 years to unpause the clock?
It's an interesting question. I think, particularly around mental health issues, if you look at the kind of history of how we've been trying to find solutions for mental health issues, we've gone down a lot of pathways that have been semi-successful, so looking at, standard antidepressant type approaches and then sort of standard psychotherapies, and they've gotten us so far, but we have reached a bit of a sticking point, and so I think it's maybe has been come from that trying to search for new solutions that's caused this kind of reactivation in this interest.
It does seem like we're, I guess, being more open to things, and you look no further than the upcoming referendum over the recreational use of cannabis. If that does go through and recreational use is legalised, do you think that that could possibly potentially open up a pathway for drugs like LSD to be used in a medicinal way?
I'd like to think that the two should be kept quite separate, the kind of recreational use and medical use, especially of these psychedelics, which are quite potentially quite strong compounds, and they so I think it's good to keep a very clear distinction between medical use and recreational use. And obviously, we're studying psychedelics from a medical point of view, so I kind of think there are different aspects of and that, like any potential medicine, it needs to stand on its own two feet. That makes sense.
Have you had experience, have you done research on cannabis medicinally?
No, I haven't been involved in cannabis research. I teach it, but I haven't actually happened to do any involved in any studies.
Now, this question is probably one you get asked a lot, so I'm sure I know the answer, but I've got to ask it for the listeners. Do you need any volunteer subjects for your upcoming trial?
No, we don't need any volunteers at the moment. We're not recruiting it, and when we do, there'll be a kind of very specific pathway. So people really don't need to email me about taking part, because I've received a lot of such emails and I just can't reply to them anymore.
I'm sure there's a very stringent vetting process as well, that you can't just anyone jump in.
There's a very stringent vetting process for letting people into the trial, and actually people would be surprised to understand that actually there's a huge time commitment actually being involved in the study as well. They have to come to the lab a lot of times to get a lot of procedures done on them. Actually, there's a lot more to involve in it than just taking some LSD.
It's not just a nice little trip once in a while.
No, not at all.
When can we expect to see your findings from the study?
Oh, that's a good question. Maybe we'll start end of 2021, start 2022. These things take a long time, right? It'll take at least a year to collect the data because we're trying to run quite a big study with a lot of participants so that we have a lot of statistical power to show what might be relatively subtle effects in the data. So the more participants we run, the longer it takes to collect the data. So, These things happen on, unfortunately, quite a slow...
Classic journal question as well. Can I have a jaw?
The Wire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.